Hello and welcome to the TMS Wiki's Tuesday Night Discussion Group. Today, June 24th, 2014, we will be discussing two chapters from God Does Not Want You to Be in Pain, the new TMS book out by Eric Herbie Watson and Walt Alexi. We are very happy to have a good friend of ours from the forum on the call tonight. Lavender is with us. And she's probably just going to listen along, but it's nice to chat with her. We were just talking with her before the call, and it was very nice. It was good to make touch like that. But first, I guess we'll start with Walt. And Walt, your chapter is about a subject which clearly is very important to you and very important to the book. That is of spirituality. Do you want to tell us about that?
Okay. Well, Herbie and I both felt that it was very helpful to us in healing our various symptoms to ask God's help, the great healer. Some people have been turned off by the title of our book, God Does Not Want You to Be in Pain. I've gotten some emails from people who said that they're not spiritual, they're not religious, and that part of it kind of turned them off. But even in our book, I suggest you don't have to include the Lord in on your healing. It's up to you if you want to. And if those sections of the book are problematic, just skip over them. But in the chapter that I wrote, Faith and Spirituality, I have a section called Fear and Faith, and maybe that's appropriate to focus on a little tonight because of Lavender's concern about fear. And I don't know if you have a copy of the book in front of you or not, Lavender, but it's starts on page 227. Okay. And Dr. Sarno says fear can be a major cause of TMS. Herbie and I said we can overcome fear with faith. And there are examples in the book that we quote from. And I quote from some non-religious people like Henry Ford. He says, one of the greatest discoveries a man makes, one of his great surprises, is to find that he can do what he's afraid he couldn't do. So he says we can be afraid to tackle something, but if we work at it, do a little at a time, we can overcome our fear. So Joel Osteen, a minister, I quote him and his wife. How they put faith to work in their fears. And leafing through it here, Deepak Chopra, who is frequently quoted, says, ultimately spiritual awareness unfolds when you're flexible, when you're detached, when you're easy on yourself and easy on others. Give it a chance. Martin Luther King Jr. said, faith is taking the first step, even when you can't see the whole staircase. And I know from your posts, Lavender, that you said you use your office chair on wheels to get to the kitchen. I think you said to get a hot cup of milk. That's courage. That's faith. That's the way it starts. One of my very best friend, his little boy was about 4 years old. You never saw a more beautiful little boy. If you remember the movie Oliver, he was a double for the little boy in Oliver. Beautiful blonde-haired little boy. And he was sitting in the window of his bedroom, and he leaned against the screen and fell out the window. Landed on the concrete driveway on his head. Mm. Miracle, a woman, a neighbor across the street from them, saw him sitting in the window, had the you know, figured he was going to fall, was afraid he was going to fall. So she was on the phone with the police and the hospital, and an ambulance came within minutes, and they lived near Evanston Hospital, so he took them there, and he was in a coma for several days. But very long story short, he recovered his mental facilities, but he was confined to a wheelchair and couldn't walk. So his father visited him, you know, as often as he could each day, and he kept telling his son, "Get up and walk to me." And the son said, I can't do it. Little by little, the son built up his belief in the father's faith. And one day, after a couple of weeks, he got out of the chair, a wheelchair, and walked to his dad. And from then on, his recovery was fast. And he visits me today. I'm like his uncle. And he is married, happily married, and good job, and graduated college. I think a lot of it had to do with his father's encouraging him to keep trying. And his father was not a religious person, but he had faith that he could influence his son. And the son's love for the father got him to walk. So that's one of my most personal experiences in faith.
It's a powerful story, and I have to say, well, when you were talking about Lavender in the office chair and just keeping moving, as direct echoes there of and that really is a broad definition of faith in terms of that being what we need inside of us.
Yeah, it wasn't that he didn't believe in organized religion. He and his wife believed that there's a supreme power being that created us, but he never talked much about that. But he just believed that if you really, maybe it was love, his expression of love to his son and the son's love for his father, the boy gave it a try. Mm-hmm. Someone else has posted on the wiki that they can't get out of bed. So Lavender's triumphed over that. She's able to ride the chair and get out of bed. Mm-hmm. It's tough. It must be very, very hard to bring yourself to have that kind of courage.
Well, just to clarify, I can do some steps. That's why it appears to be a person who has spinal stenosis, although I don't. In that case, the person can walk a little bit, but always have to sit down again. And once a week, my husband takes me to a swimming pool where I walk back and forth across the pool with a flotation device. And so there's no gravity. And that way I get to socialize with some people at the pool, and it's a day out, and I get to move, because atrophy is your worst enemy with RSD.
Yes. Yeah, that's wonderful. I'm so glad to hear that. I have a friend who's a cleaning lady, and she came over here yesterday and cleaned the house, and she's just wonderful. And she is Serbian, and her husband is Croatian. And they were a Romeo and Juliet situation in their homeland. They would have been killed if they stayed there. And they had two young preteen children, or young teenagers. So they left the country and went to Europe. And he worked as a chef, and she worked as a secretary to a manufacturer in Germany. They moved for a while to Germany. Long story short, they could only stay in Germany about 5 years. So they came here, and the Lord got us together in a very odd way. I had just moved to Glenview, Illinois, a suburb of Chicago, from Evanston, and I had a garage sale. They came to my garage sale. And I said, I learned a little about them, and I said, what kind of work do you do? And he said, we're both looking for work. So I found jobs for both of them. He became a carpenter, and she didn't speak English well enough to be a secretary, so she's been cleaning houses. They worked very, very hard, both of them, and they bought a restaurant. Unfortunately, restaurants are one of the hardest things to make a success in this country, unless it's, you know, pancakes and hamburgers. And they were an upscale European kind of restaurant. So the restaurant failed, left them in big debt. It eventually got to him so that he lost confidence in himself. They were in the process of divorce because he walked out on them and left her with being a cleaning lady to survive and two kids, you know, raising them. So anyway, this is getting a little long. But when she was here yesterday, I said, how do you feel? She was feeling much better with not having the backaches. She's a small, thin woman, and she's working hard cleaning people's houses to keep going. So she said that she was had a lot of back pain until she decided that the only way to handle the marriage was divorce. So she went into the process of that. I found her a lawyer, wonderful lawyer, who's handling her case for no fee, pro bono. That was going along real well, and she said, I don't have any back pain. Things are going well. But then yesterday she said, the pains are back, and they're traveling down from my back, down my leg, to my ankles. And I said, that's stress. That's emotional stress from everything you've been going through. And she said she has a lady friend who's a psychiatrist or psychologist who has told her the same thing. So now she's trying to work on that to handle this traumatic life that she's led, and the moves and the husband now and all of that. So a lot of us are walking wounded, and we're working hard to try to get better.
It's interesting how you connect faith to it, and it does feel like faith can kind of be a powerful balm.
Yeah, I think she needs to. I don't think she's very spiritual either, this Vera, this woman I know. But faith can be not only religious, but a strong belief in yourself that you can overcome your symptom, your obstacle.
Do you want to comment on that? I'm sure you have some thoughts about that and how important it is to have some sort of faith, whether it's spiritual or not.
Me?
Yeah,
Eric.
Sure. Eric.
Well, there's two kinds of faith. You know, there's two kinds of faith. There's God's faith, and then there's your faith. You know, there was a man in the Bible, and he looks at Jesus, and he says, you know, I believe, or you know, but help my belief, you know. And sometimes we can go in our own faith so far that we have to look out and believe for a higher power to help us. You know, we can have, the science is proving every day how strong our faith is. Science is, every time I do a new study, it's about how powerful your thoughts are and believing, you know, in better thoughts and better things. And faith is a powerful thing. Well, there's two kinds of wisdom. You know, there's higher wisdom and then there's your wisdom. There's the wisdom that you learn through your life. And then there's the wisdom of the higher learning wisdom, the wisdom of the greats, you know, and a lot of, then there's two kinds of knowledge. There's your knowledge, and then there's the knowledge of the higher knowledge, the higher learning knowledge. And a lot of times when we get stuck and we don't know what to do, we don't know which road to take, we don't know how to get out there, sometimes we have to look to that higher knowledge and that higher wisdom, and in TMS healing, that's what we're doing. We're looking at that higher knowledge. We're looking at that higher wisdom. We're looking at that road less taken, you know, and we're taking it. And we're taking it by faith. You know, people can call it what they want, but when you get on that journey, you're getting on that journey by faith. And because we've been taught so much through our whole lives, you know, that everything's structural. It must be structural. There's no way that this could be caused, you know, any other way. And there's no way that you're going to be able to heal, you know, by mindfulness and meditations and being calm and being at peace and practicing so many other great higher learnings. You know, there's no way that you could do that. Some people believe that. But the science is even proving it now. So faith is a powerful thing when it comes to, do you want to do this? You take faith away from a man, you take away his drive, you take away, you know, everything that he, you know, that he thinks he can accomplish. You give it back to him, he can do whatever he wants to do. You know? I could go on and on, but that's my take
on it.
Powerful
stuff, Irby. Yeah, faith is, powerful stuff. Now, in terms of faith, one of the big things, as we were mentioning before, that your faith has to give you in TMS healing is it's got to help you overcome your fear. And Walt, I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit more about how your faith can help you overcome your fear, specifically your spiritual faith. Like, tell me, how does that play out for you?
And I can comment on that. Part of the problem I think that I had when I had the back aches is I had not made peace with my faith, my Catholic Church. I was upset.
You wrote about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I was upset about the cover ups, you know, the priests and the pedophilia and the bishops and the cardinals and even the Pope. Not the present one, but the previous one. That they covered it up. And that really made me angry. And I lost faith in my church. And I decided my faith was just going to be between me and the Lord. Well, that really didn't satisfy me. I had guilt and trouble with that. So one of the TMS books that I read after I read Dr. Sarno was I think it's James Brady.
Scott Brady.
And he mentioned in his book that if we have a problem with our faith, we need to reconcile that, and then it'll help us to heal. So I thought about that quite a bit, and I remembered what a priest had told me who had been critical of the church privately. He wasn't verbally critical to his superiors because he didn't want to get in trouble with them. So he did a lot of praying, and he reached the conclusion that he couldn't solve the problems that he had with the church. So he just tossed the ball to the Lord and said, "You solve them." And that brought some peace to him, and I decided to follow that priest's philosophy, and I did some praying, and I prayed to the Lord, and I said, "Okay, I don't know why you've allowed this pedophilia situation, and also I think the fact that the Catholic Church became too political and was dogmatic about telling us who to vote for. No way is somebody going to tell me who to vote for. Even the Pope isn't going to get away with that one." So I decided to toss all that to God. And I made peace with my church without going to confession, without talking to anybody. I did a...
If I can jump in here, Walt, I think we can all relate to that. I mean, everybody's going to have different things that they're struggling with. That you know, like for you, it was about the pedophilia scandal and about the politics and such. But I mean, everyone is going to have an issue with that. We can all deal, you know, relate to something that we can't control that really gets under our skin, and we can all use this idea of putting it in God's hands. And
that's,
I think that's
right.
And that'll give us the equanimity that we need.
I'm glad you explained it that way, Herbie, or Forrest.
Yeah, Forrest, yeah.
I've been watching, I think the TMS led me to a more of a spiritual journey, which I had kind of left alone for many years, so busy with my being a newspaper reporter and a writer. I didn't do much thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And so I think the TMS led me to do more thinking about it. And in the evening, I try to relax by watching a movie on TV or nature and documentaries and history. I like that. I don't watch any of this garbage and violence and stupid stuff. But through surfing the channels on my satellite dish, I came upon two religious channels. I started watching those, and I felt, well, I'm learning a little more about it from that. But they were too bombastic, and I began to wonder, are they sincere? Are these televangelists just... Because almost every word out of them is, God will love you more if you give, if you donate to us.
Mm-hmm.
So write a check right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I'm not going to let them influence me with money. So just actually only a few days ago, I came upon a Catholic satellite channel. And I've been watching that more. And... I think I'm feeling more comfortable with their sales pitches about God and Jesus and that he died for us and their way of expressing it than I am from these other two channels which just seem to want money. So I think it's all making me do more thinking, and sometimes I have to get away from it.
That's true.
I think, hey, I don't want to become too holy. My mother gave good advice. She said to my sister and brother and me, our two older sister and brother, try to be a good Catholic, but don't get churchy. Don't get publicly religious, holier than thou, and all of that. Don't hang around priests and nuns or anybody who is real super religious, because in her life, and she led a long, tough life, she must have had a lot of experiences in this, and she didn't give us examples, but we knew they were there. For one thing, when she retired, she was a telephone operator for Illinois Bell. When she retired, she wanted to keep busy, and she was a wonderful cook. So she volunteered to cook for the priests at her church. And she said she would do the shopping and they would pay the grocery bill and then she would prepare the evening meals. She said, those priests ate like kings. She said, they ate the best steaks and the best chops and the best rib roasts and... best desserts and the wines and all the rest of it. So I thought she didn't say, well, they didn't deserve that kind of lifestyle, but I think she meant it. And that also bothers me that, you know, they may not be millionaires, but they live like them.
Yeah.
And they usually get to go on a golf course free, the best golf course in America.
But the takeaway message here, it sounds like, is the importance of keeping it all in perspective.
That's right. And don't be upset if a priest has feet of clay and has sins. That's between him and God. You can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
So let God handle it.
I mean, it does feel like that's a big part of TMS, is developing one's spirituality. A lot of people develop a sense of mindfulness, and it seems like it's almost like you have to do that if you want to heal for some people, and so it's just a good thing to do, but I trust you to keep it all in balance. Herbie, do you want to comment on that? Eric, rather?
Not keeping being at peace with your church and your beliefs?
I think that's one of the main thoughts to
You know, one thing that I take from every bit of it, especially when Walt said he made peace with it, you know, there's a part in the Bible where it talks about resting in God, having His rest. And that's where we take so much on ourselves and so much problems of the world and so much, whether it's fear, whether it's anger, whether it's pressures, whether it's our own traits, whether it's, you know, condemnation from other people, whether it's insecurities, we take all these on ourselves and we hold them on the inside of us. And if you're going to rest in your higher power, if you're going to rest in God, if you're going to rest in it, then you give it back to your higher power, and you let your higher power take care of, you know, the fears and the problems and the issues of your life. And you free up your mind, you know, so that you can be at peace with yourself. And then when you can be at peace with yourself, you can heal. You can be happy again. You can have your joy. So that's pretty much what I take from it. It's just being at rest, being at peace, you know, with life in general, and especially your higher power. We all look to a higher power. We should. Even if we believe we're the higher power, then you should love yourself more than anything in the world. But often we'll beat ourselves up, and we won't let that part go, but we'll be kind and nice to everyone else. So when Walt said he gave it back to God, he gave the ball, you know, to God and let God take care of it, then that's the beautiful part of it. That's what you do. That's how you can rest, you know?
Yeah, I agree, Herbie. It made me think of the news that we're getting now from Iraq and Iran and all the terrorists and all the fighting going on and how it could spread. But those people in that part of the world have been fighting for centuries. We're not going to solve it. We're not going to bring peace. We tried. Other countries have tried too. Some people just love to hate. And that's what's going on in the world, and it's in that part of the world, and different religions fighting each other. And they need to transfer that to love. But which is more powerful, love or hate? In that part of the world, it looks like they just love to hate more.
There are some pretty thorny problems out there. Yeah, and I would hesitate to make too many generalizations, but I hear the importance of love there. I mean, I think that's good stuff.
Yeah, well, love thy neighbor. Don't try to kill them because they disagree with you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Awesome.
One of the last times I was at Mass, the assistant pastor got up and gave a sermon. This is about 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, he said, let's all pray for the conversion of the Muslims to Christianity. I almost got up and yelled, that's exactly what we should not do. We should pray to all get along.
There you go.
But I had to sit there and be quiet.
That reminds me of what Mother Teresa said. They asked Mother Teresa, would she walk with them against the war in Vietnam?
Oh.
And she said no. She said no, she wouldn't do that. She wouldn't walk with them against the war in Vietnam. She said that when they was ready to have a walk for peace, then she would have that walk, a walk for peace to each other, you know? So that was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically the same thing you just said, Walt. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Powerful
spread
stuff.
Love.
Well,
spread
on that.
Love. Yeah. Yeah, let's have Herbie give some talk on his chapter. Is powerful. A lot of great stuff.
A lot of great stuff. Herbie, do you want to introduce it yourself, or should I guide you through it a little bit?
You can guide me through it. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. Well, one thing that you emphasized that I loved was the importance of working of feeling your affirmations. That affirmations are not supposed to be in your head; they're supposed to be in your heart. And I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, I give the story of a friend that we were talking, and I wanted to know how she said her affirmation. And when she was actually talking about scripture, and the scripture, there's all kinds of affirmations and you can use them. But she called back to me the way she said them, and she said them real, real fast. She'd also told me that she had done read Dr. Sarno's book and Steve Ozenich's book all within a month. And, you know, that's when my notice antennas went up. But anyway, I asked her to tell me how she said her affirmations, and she said them rather quickly. And I told her to slow down. She was in extreme pain when I was talking to her, and it's kind of hard to speak to somebody when they're in extreme pain. But anyway, I wanted her to slow down a little bit, and I asked her to, when was the last time that she knew the affirmation, she knew the words to say by heart. She knew it by heart, just like we learn our ABCs and we learn, you know, other things. We learn it by heart. But the thing was that she wasn't feeling the affirmation. She wasn't feeling the emotions that went with the affirmation. And it doesn't have to be just one word, like I've been saying, you know, like you say peace, and then you feel the emotion of peace that goes with it. And then it does something a lot more powerful to you than just saying, you know, going around all day saying, I have the peace of God, I have the peace of God. You can say that till the cows come home. But until you start to actually feel what that peace feels like and mentally think of a time in your life that you knew what peace, what great peace to you was, and then actually feel that emotion in your body, you're not actually doing the affirmations like you're supposed to be doing. Because we all know an affirmation is basically any emotion that you're feeling at the time, you know? A lot of people think that affirmations is just spoken words. And affirmations is actually what you're feeling at the time emotionally, okay?
It's when you decide to feel something like that. It's when you bring that emotion up. Am I understanding you right?
Well, you can decide to feel it, and after you get conditioned to it and you can get yourself to feel the peace, yeah, that's a good affirmation. But most people, they'll go around all day long and they'll be feeling tired, sluggish, worn out, angry, mad, fearful. But they're not thinking that those are affirmations. And they don't have to try to feel it. They're just feeling it. It's because it's unconscious and, you know, it's habit to them. They've done it their whole lives. And just like with me, like on the other show, I was talking about how in the family, how in my family, when we were all kids, if the mailman would knock on the door, we'd go all run and hide in the back room. And I didn't even know why we were hiding for. But for some reason, I was scared of the mailman. I didn't even know why I was scared of the mailman.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of get trained to do this as you're young. And then as you grow up, you still got it in you. And in your mind, you don't know to retrain yourself to stop these affirmations. And you're going around and you got fear in you. You got anger. You got all these insecurities, and these are affirmations that you're walking around with, you know? And
so
you really don't... Go ahead.
So some little trigger will happen, and it'll like take you back to childhood. It'll take you back to an afraid state. And is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it can take you to any bad memory. It can take you to something bad that just happened yesterday that set you off, and... You know, but of course this trigger could be from 20 years ago, but you could have got triggered with that same trigger from a week ago.
Yeah,
and
that's
if somebody
interesting. Walt, are you still on the line? Ah, darn. Okay, well, Walt's been reading recently about something called amygdala scripts, and I just wanted to say that sounds exactly like the amygdala script stuff that Walt's been reading and also writing about as well recently too. So, I wanted to draw that connection, but it sounds like what you're saying is you've got a really broad sense of affirmation. So an affirmation is anything which you essentially allow into your mind. Like if you're
well, a lot of times you don't even have to allow it. A lot of times it's just programmed from when you were a child, you know.
Right.
But go ahead.
That's all I wanted to say. Yeah, it's like we have control over our mind state, and if we allow ourselves to be afraid, well, that's like an affirmation. It's an affirmation that we aren't making deliberately, but that's in our brain nonetheless. And so no matter what we're doing, we've always got something in there, and it's our choice whether to make that a positive thing or a negative thing. Is that what you're talking about? I just want to make sure I'm getting it right.
Yes, you're exactly right.
Okay.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And we go and we live, and we think that these emotions, these feelings that we're having, we think that we can't do nothing about them. We think they're just there, and I've been this way all my life, and I can't help it. And some people say, well, I'm just a nervous person. Some people say, well, I'm just a shy person. Some people say, you know, I'm just an angry person. And in reality and truth, they can change those emotions. Those are the things that trigger them. And that can recondition ourselves, you know, through practice of, you know, positive affirmations and good affirmations and stuff like that. But at the same time, like the person that says, well, I'm the angry person, or the person that says, I'm the shy person, all they're doing is just reinforcing every time they think that they're that person, every time they just say it, every time they do it, they're reinforcing that affirmation that's who they are. They're already that. They've already done it their whole lives. They've already been that way their whole lives. And these could be hundreds of negative emotions or even thousands, you know, done over and over and over and over throughout their life. And they just think that that's who they are. And really, they've been programmed that way by life. But yet they can reprogram and get out of that.
So that's such an optimistic view, because it means that we have control. It means that we can change. So we were talking earlier about, you know, the importance of getting out of the bed, and Walt was talking about how important faith is, right, or getting out of the wheelchair. And how important it is for us to have the faith that we can do that, so that we can gather the emotional energy and the power to actually make the move to convince ourselves that we can do it. And it sounds like you're giving us that same enthusiasm and power and confidence about any change that we want, that if we stick with it, if we program our brains another way, that we can change anything we want. We can change those affirmations which are in our heads from negative ones to positive ones.
Yes. Sorry. And it creates new neural pathways, you know, when you're doing this while you're reprogramming.
Gotcha.
So,
keep going, Eric. Keep going.
Well, you know, you create the new neural pathways by doing the reprogramming, and then as you recreate the new neural pathways, then the body starts to feel, you know, what it is that you're believing for, or you're affirming, you're thinking.
Great stuff.
And all the other older pathways, the ones that you've had 40, 50, 60, 70 years, they start to get thin, they start to get weaker, and they're not as strong anymore. And then, in essence, that's how your body starts to heal.
Powerful stuff. I think I heard a voice jumping in. Do you want to,
Yes, I was going to comment on what Herbie said, and it's my understanding that the affirmations have power, because when they're spoken out loud, your own brain hears them, and thus you can change that imprint on your brain. You're hearing it. It doesn't work half as well when you're thinking it, when you're reading it. it just doesn't seem to work as well. I have actually recorded some of the affirmations and just hear my own voice and making them when I'm multitasking. And I wanted to comment earlier when they were talking about fear. Have you ever heard anyone explain fear as F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real?
I bet you have, Harvey. Yeah, that sounds like exactly what
somebody
would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, powerful stuff.
Yeah, so we get, when you hear something, like somebody might say, if you go over there to Sally's house, then be careful because you're going to get sick. If you connect your mind and you connect your thought that if I get over there, I'm going to get sick, well, you just affirmed to a fear. You just connected to a fear. And you go over at Sally's house and you probably will get sick, you know? So, but this is, there's so many different ways to explain affirmations. Now, you know, the way I was talking about feeling it emotionally, that's one way. You know, speaking it out loud, I actually heard that from Abraham Lincoln. He would come in and he would speak, he would read the newspaper out loud to all of his, people at the desk that morning that he would meet with. Cause he figured out that he remembered twice as much when he spoke it out loud. But anyway, I knew it was an affirmation. But at the same time, you get the emotions with it too, and it's just that much more powerful. Affirmations, you know, there's tons and tons of books written on them. But anyway, we get connected to a fear. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of ways to get connected to a fear. And you can watch TV, you know. All through the day, one of the things you do when you, like if you go all through the day watching TV and it's just all violence, well then on the inside of you, your body is got these adrenalines going. Your body just starts feeling, you know, sometimes on the inside, not sometimes but all the time, on the inside of your body, this is science, when something happens on the outside, the inside of your body doesn't know the difference. If it's real or if it's fake. Like, say you saw a murder on TV or you saw a murder in person. Inside the body doesn't know if it's real or fake. It doesn't know if you're really running from the line or if the line's just somewhere else. The body's still going to react in that same way.
Which is bad news because it scares the inside of your body. I mean, it keeps,
yeah.
keeps you afraid all the time.
Yeah, and then we wonder why we're so nervous, you know, but because we're... The things we expose ourselves to. Life in general, you can be at peace with life in general. There was a lady, I can't remember her name, maybe Forrest can, that talked about the lady that talked about stress and how if you think stress is going to hurt you, well then it will. But if you think it won't hurt you and you're going to be okay, well then you'll be okay. I think her name was Kelly McDougall. She did a TEDx talk.
Sounds good.
But, yeah, and so many of us don't know that we have power in our minds to just believe that everything's going to be okay, and you can actually start to cultivate these emotions, these good emotions in your body. You know, whether if you're exposed to violence on TV during the day or not, whether if you're exposed to arguments during the day or not, if you just believe in your mind that everything's going to be okay, then you can calm your body down that way too. Because, you know, It's almost impossible to get away from all the bad things that goes on in life, you know? Maybe Buddhist monks might get that luxury, but, you know, just people living in America that don't want to be a Buddhist monk, I mean, it has to move on with their life. You have to figure out how to be able to get that calming in your body without shaving your head and living in a monastery, you know? So... through meditations, through mindfulness, through affirmations, and so forth, we can achieve calmness in our bodies. And also by controlling, you know, the what-ifs, the thoughts, the, you know, you should have, and so forth. You know, by controlling all of that, by just not agreeing with it, by just not attaching yourself to those fears, those negative fears, you can become strong. You can become strong.
Good stuff. Another thing that you, anything else you want to add about that, or any questions that anyone has about affirmations and the roles they play and the ways that you can use them? Because one thing I wanted to ask about was focusing. You talked a little bit about focusing and how you used that when your dad passed away. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah.
And tell us how to do
it. I hadn't read much on focusing at the time, and then after Pop passed away, I was already better. I was already healed from TMS. I was already healed. The last part to go was the pain in my back, okay? The pain had already spread throughout my body, and then as I started believing and doing the TMS work and doing the meditations, doing the calming, relaxation techniques, and so forth, the body started healing up. I was doing visualizations and everything like I talk about in my book. But anyway, when my dad passed away, it was about probably a year later after I'd been better, I went to the funeral. And when I went to the funeral, I looked down and I saw his hands. And when I saw his hands, I saw my hands. His hands looked exactly like my hands. And I actually put my hand on top of his hand. And I don't know what it did to me. I don't understand to this day what that did, but it was a type of shock. And plus that was my dad that I'd known this man for 40 years of my life. This was a piece of my life that I felt like something had left me. And we know, I mean, it was my dad passing, but this felt like something had actually came out of my body, my energy in my body. It felt like something had left. And when I was there, I stayed strong. I didn't break down too bad or anything. I made sure I was the one comforting everybody. But when I got home, about a day later, the thoughts started hitting me. You know, that was my dad, and all the memories from all the good times we've had started coming back to me. My dad was always real good to me. He was always a real optimistic person. This was one person I never ever in my life saw worry about anything. He never had anything bad to say about anybody. He was my role model. And when I got home, I think it was about 2 days later, the pain had came back in my back so bad that I couldn't hardly get up. And I, here I was already teaching people and already, you know, supposed to have been better and supposed to know how to, you know, be healed and not have to go down that road and hurt anymore. And here I was hurting again. And I couldn't put my finger on what was going on. And I remembered focusing. I remembered some studying and some teachings from TMS Wiki that people had talked about with Eugene Gillen. Eugene Gillen's focusing style. And I had basically was studying all the other styles, and as we all know, there's a lot at the Wiki to learn, and I hadn't learned the focusing. Well, when I got in there and I got to understanding what the focusing was about, it was about focusing on, first of all, you think about the emotions that you have in your mind. Can you put a name to them? Can you put a name those emotions? Can you think about what it is you're thinking about, and can you put a name to it? And all I could think was depression or sadness, hopelessness, helplessness, you know. And I would lay there, and I would think of those words. And as I would think of those words, then I would feel the emotion. Then I would think back on the pain in my body. And instead of trying to ignore the pain, like the way I had been trained with TMS healing, I was to think of the emotion, then I was to think on the pain, feel the pain in my body. Not enter into it, not be one with it, but just think of it. Think of it without criticizing, think of it without fearing it, just face it, okay?
That sounds like mindfulness to me when you describe it like that. It sounds like which is very well supported, this idea that you know, you don't fight things, just be mindful of them. Be aware of them. You don't have to let them take over. Okay, so you're being mindful.
Yes, I'm being mindful of it. I'm not entering into the pain. There was never a time that I focused or got my mind on that any pain that ever came in my body. I would always, like a pain would come in my left foot, I'd focus on my right foot. Pain come in my right shoulder, I'd focus on my left hand, okay? And that's how I got rid of the pains that were all through my body from the beginning. So when I studied Eugene Gemmons focusing, I had learned something totally different. It wasn't totally different, but it was a tool to add to what I already knew. It was something special because when I laid there and I focused on the pain instead of fearing it, instead of running from it, and I faced the emotions I was having, I did that probably 30 minutes the first time, and the pain in my back left. I got up, I went probably 4 or 5 hours the rest of the day without feeling the pain. I got up the next day, I felt the pain again. I did the focusing again, and the pain left again. So I knew that I had already learned something else that was a powerful tool in the TMS healing arsenal, okay? So that's pretty much how I did it. And then after about the third or fourth time, the pain left me, and it hasn't came back. So that's the reason that in Chapter 10, my last chapter in the book, I ended it with that, because that was pretty much my last battle.
Because that's how you beat it.
Yeah, that's how I beat the pain. You know, you hear so many people, or not so many, but you hear some people, you know, they healed, and then a year later it came back on them, you know? Yeah. Well, I would, and we have people come to the TMS Wiki all the time.
That
good, got better, and then all of a sudden, 2 years, 3 years later, it came back, and they don't know what to do. Well, I always tell them about Alan Gordon's program. I tell him about the TMS recovery program because I know he's talking about that in that program. He's talking about it through the mindfulness teachings he's doing on there. So I would always tell anybody, you know, that's already been there and already they believe they have everything down, to add focusing, you know, to their arsenal, to their tool bag, to their tool belt. Add it to it. And it'll help you. I would recommend to learn it right along with everything else if you're learning TMS, you know, healing Sorrell's books and Steve Osnage's book and Mine and Walt's book. I mean, add the focus into it. It's a beautiful thing. It helped me get over this pain that came back that was in my body for 25 years. And I'm really ecstatic about it. I'm overjoyed about it. I tell a lot of people about it. And, just yesterday, I'd been telling this young man named Liam, one of our friends on TMS Wiki, about it. I think here it is 2 or 3 weeks later, and he's already getting better. So, and that was just teaching him the focusing part. Of course, he's learning the Sarno's 12 daily meditations too. The focus is powerful. It really is.
That's really wonderful.
Because we run, you know, we run so much for it. Lavender, we run so much from facing those emotions, facing, even feeling the pain in your body. We run from that. I mean, we're told most often not to focus on that pain, you know? And then when you start to learn what focusing is about, you hear to actually think about the pain in your body, and you get kind of, you know, it would be a mix-up. You would be getting mixed up. So what does he mean? You know, he's just saying don't focus on it, and then this other person saying focus on it. Well, if you ever hear somebody talking about focusing in pain, they're probably talking about Eugene Gemmons' focusing style, and basically the way I just said it.
Excellent. Excellent, good stuff. And hey, the more tools you got in your bag, the better. You know, you gotta rely on whatever works. So as I'm looking at this chapter, there is a lot in here. Like you covered a lot of stuff, and to some degree, you're summarizing the whole book. So, but we only have a certain amount of time. So what else? This is the last pure Herbie chapter in the book. What do you want us to take away from this chapter? Like, what's the moral of the story here? What's the most important Herbie stuff that we can get out of this last chapter?
Don't connect yourself to fears. Just know that all your life, you've learned, to be like your mother, to be like your father, to be like your friends, to be like everybody else around you. And you can be your own person and still be your own unique person and still have a beautiful, beautiful life without changing who you are. You don't have to connect to fears. You can let go of your insecurities. You can let go of your hurts. You can let go of your pain. You can become aware of what's bothering you. You can feel the emotions, and you can release them. But until you realize and that you have to do some work, and you have to do some digging, and you have to do some awareness, you have to become aware of all of these different emotions that's going on in your body. You have to become aware of those voices that's talking to you in your head. You have to become aware of these personality traits that you're harming yourself with. You have to become aware of people around you that's triggering you and setting you off, because you're the person, you're the captain of your ship, you're the one that can control all of those emotions that are being set off in your body. And it takes practice, it takes reprogramming, it takes reconditioning. You can't do it overnight, but you keep at it. You keep at it over a period of 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. You can reprogram it, and you can set yourself free, and you can heal, and you will heal if you stay with it. That's it.
That is some beautiful truth there, my friend. That is good stuff. Anyone, we've had a couple people coming in and coming out. It's been great to see some familiar faces popping up on the callers. Welcome to the show. Any final questions we have? This isn't the last chapter of the book, by the way. We've still got another section called TMSPS that will begin next week. I'm thinking right now of spending 2 weeks on this. So it's not done, but this is the last of the pairs of chapters. Walt talking about spirituality, and then Herbie talking about these affirmations and how he finally beat his back pain. Any final questions from the listeners here tonight? All right. Well, thanks for calling in, and thanks for listening. Thanks for writing stuff in the chat room and chatting with us. We had a great conversation before the call began, and we will see you again next week. Thanks, Herbie, so much for calling in. And Walton,
thank
you're
you.
Not here now, but maybe you'll hear us on the recording. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I've been listening the whole call-in tonight.
Oh, wonderful.
All right, good deal.
That's just great, Herbie. You did a wonderful job.
You sure did.
Thank you.
All right, and next week, TMSPS. Thanks a lot, folks.